Pipeline having a very intense conversation there with my illustrious producer, and welcome to When Pigs Fly. And of course, this is Andrew Fetter, your host, and I want to thank all of you out there listening, and future listeners and past listeners, of course. Do want to just give a quick a couple announcements before I get into my show, and there is also one issue I want to relate to in my show, is that I will be having tomorrow, if you are in the Las Vegas area, another book signing event at the B. Dalton Bookstore, and that's in the Galleria Mall at 1300 Sunset, and that's on Sunset and Stephanie in Henderson, Nevada. I'll be there from about 1 o'clock to 5 o'clock. It is for my newly released book, The Heretic, and some people around here call me The Heretic. But please come down, say hello or whatever. I love meeting new people, like I always say, and I will be offering, because this is sort of my Christmas thing, or holiday thing, or whatever you want, greeting. We'll be offering the first 5 purchases of my book at my event. We'll get a free copy of my prequel, of course, which is When the Angels Have Risen, which is a rather controversial book. And you can always also feel free in contacting me through MySpace account or my account or my via email, flyingpigs@artlover.com. If you've got any questions, answers, comments, and thoughts about past shows or things, you know, whatever, shoot it over. And also, I know people will probably go, hey, how come your blog site hasn't been up for a bit? It was down a lot. I haven't been blogging as much and had to be rebuilt up. That's at www.andrew.myufo.com. I will be start working more on it. I haven't been really implementing anything since the elections, and I want to give my special thanks to Lewis Martin, who is hosting my blog site, and he has his blog site, of course, is excuse me for my throat, I have a little bit of a head cold, www.myufo.com, and do definitely check that out. Again, that's myufo.com. He just keeps track of all the UFO events around the world. People contact him. He has some unusual paranormal things, and of course, he always has his fascinating film raw movies that are just great. You know, you get check it out. He's definitely different the way he does his blog site, and it's quite entertaining while you get new information. And also, excuse me again. In 2 weeks. From today, obviously the 19th, I have a very, very special guest. She is also a host here on BBS Radio on a show called Sovereign Mind. And she has a newly released book, book called Holographic Canvas, The Fusing of Mind and Matter. And it is a fascinating book. It discusses about how the relation between the mind, our spirit, in relation to our physical world, and a very scientific understanding. So I do definitely look forward to that. Again, do contact me if you guys have any questions or whatnot, comments. But before I get into the meat of my show, I have to elaborate a couple things. While I usually prepare my shows, usually I do things like set up outlines, and everything I do is basically from the heart, sort of like, you know, put things together, but then I usually just go off what comes to me from the universe, and that's how I sort of lay out things. And as I was making out my outline, I noticed something I was very surprisingly to see, and it was on two links that I saw on BBS Radio on the left there, and it sort of surprised me because of two people. BBS Radio has so many people. I mean, everyone, all the hosts are quite enlightened, and it's an honor to be associated with everyone, including as well as the owners of BBS Radio. But we're sort of like, plainly speaking, like two boils on your ass. I thought these two characters who are on their links, and frankly, one of them, it says on there, it's called Real Jew News, and I was curious what the hell that was. And I click on it, and it's some guy named Brother Nathaniel Kapner. And this guy is like Father Coughlin. He's got more spewing hate coming out of him than I've ever seen, and it's a religious hate. And he claims he was a Jew once, and now he's a Christian, and he claims how they're trying to Judaize the country, and it should be a Christian country, which we'll get into pretty soon, what I'm going to talk about in the near future, real soon, about theocracies and all that. But it just baffled me. This guy has so much hate and negativity, and it just putrid. It's like disgusting. I mean, you know, basically he was blaming the Jews and the blacks, you know, for the situation, and calling yes sir to Mr. President Obama and yes sir to his Jewish master, you know, that type of a sense. And it was like absolutely disgusting. And I hope BBS Radio removes him as a link, because that's, you know, not something of in the light area, but definitely walking the path of darkness. And that includes Jeff Rentz, who is just nothing but a Goebbels, preaching his ignorant hate of Jews and toward what is Zionism and all that, which there has been a lot of character of what Zionism is and what it is, which I've elaborated in past shows. And, you know, it's absolutely disgusting. It doesn't produce any positiveness or learning to undivide us, to work together. It's a situation where he just proposes the same Goebbels of Mein Kampf and protocol design mentality. And, I mean, there's no sense to it. And, you know, I wish BBS Radio would remove that blemish on the side of their website. But anyway, that's enough for my, because I can go on and on about that stuff. You know, I guess they can even talk about, if they don't believe that stuff really happened, about how my family sort of disappeared in Lodge Poland in the 1940s. So, anyway, now what I really want to get into, like, and it really hit me, not as much, I mean, like everybody else, and it's not surprising, it's in these days, I guess, since, you know, things come to a reality of a lot of situations. But first, I want to say foremost, my heart does definitely go out to those families and friends of those who have died and were affected or injured by those cowardly Islamic terrorists in Mumbai. I mean, it was a travesty. And I definitely got to say my thoughts and prayer go out to all those precious souls who had died, and obviously, again, their families who were, and friends who were affected by such a tragedy. I mean, this was so demonic. And it's a continuation of other events that have happened, and other people and souls who have been affected. And it just elaborates to what I'm going to about to discuss because of this horrific tragedy. You know, there was a, and you'll probably often see it, like on my own site right now, I put it up there about tyranny in the relationship of organized religion. And, of course, I'm talking about Thomas Paine, and you all know who Thomas Paine is, hopefully. He is the one who wrote Common Sense, which was the famous book that basically sprung the freedom of Americans from, and as for liberty, from the English. It was common sense about everybody. If you ever read it, it's unbelievably. It has to, you know, if you read it, and even now, it makes sense even today about people's individual liberties and freedoms, which consistently being curtailed one way or another, in one way or form. But he was way ahead of his time. He was considered definitely a radical of his time, in that sense. But he said this quote, and I'm going to quote it to you. He had said, all national institutions of churches, whether Jewish, Christian, or Muslim, appear to me no other than human inventions set up to terrify and enslave mankind and to monopolize power and profit. Man, is that telling you how it really is about organized religion? Now, I know there are people out there who follow their, you know, pastors or priests or imams or rabbis or ministers, and who are going to be deeply offended by what I have to say, and I'm sorry to say what I'm about to say. I'm not attacking your dogma of religion. Of course, in dogma, there's two sides interpretations, and there's many interpretations of dogma with the Bhagavad Gita, the Torah, the Bible, the Quran, and all of them have their rich truths within them. And it's the problems of people who have tried to implement their truths, their idea of truths, in order to manipulate, and I reiterate, to make it to set up and to terrify and enslave you and to monopolize you and monopolize the power to control you and make profit from you out of these faiths or so-called faiths. So, again, you know, I'm really apologize if what you may seem as blasphemous to you, but out of blasphemy is truth. And as one great man had said, the truth will always set you free. Now, if you look upon the originates of organized religions and how they're rooted, look at their foundation. Each and every one of them, including Judaism, Christianity, and certainly Islam, and even Hindus, was founded upon out of blood, out of murder, literally. And in Judaism, it was, you know, expanded upon when they, you know, the Jews left Egypt and came back into Canaan and got rid of the Canaanites, and, you know, what if you either believe in God, the God or you die, you know, which, of course, in Islam did the same thing. You either submit or they put the sword to your neck, and you either believe in Islam and you're a Muslim or you die. That's it. Christianity, of course, people think it was born out of the apostles, but actually it wasn't. Those were actually agnostic Christians, and they were very much like basically Jews of even today. But modern Christianity was actually formed from Emperor Constantine, which you can always check upon. That's what created Christianity, and that's what formed all the basics. And even out of that, that was formed out of blood, because if you weren't a Christian, they would torture you, imprison you. If you're a woman, they burned you to a stake if they thought you, just to shut you up and, you know, remove you from being a druid or any Wiccan type of event, or any pagan event, or if you question they called you a heretic, you were immediately killed. Definitely Christianity had its blood in its, when it was formed, officially formed. So they had that common denominator of blood, I mean, from its history. I mean, it was their way, or the highway, but your highway would have been death, torture, and so on, like I elaborated. You know, and this continued. Now, there's one thing central about all of them, which is sort of pretty interesting, is all organized religions have a common thing of personifying God. They'll make a statue, an effigy, or call it the Father and the Son. They'll use the he said, she said, he would have. Like, we're the only, first of all, like, you know, he has a personality, or she has a personality. You know, they make an effort. That's the first thing they've done is they egotistically personify God. And why? To make it more like them, like us, like man. And it's like we are the only ones in the universe. There aren't other extraterrestrials or other places. They used to think that, like, you know, the Earth was the center of all the universe. Well, obviously it isn't. You know, we're just one speck in the galaxy. And we're not even the center of our own solar system. You know, and that's how egotistical that people had originated their idea of God. And they had separated God from them so that way that God could be personified, that you have to, almost like a king, you have to bow, you know, submit to you, a king. And that's what their relation, that's how they looked upon a God, like a king, authority. Remember, they look at it as authority. So they separated from that from you. Another obvious thing they utilized, which was a common use of using fear to make you believe in their ideas. When you know that the fear is only just an illusion, and you know, and they would definitely, of course, wouldn't make any sense, because if they use fear, it wouldn't make, if they weren't using a personification of God, would a loving God implement fear? Why would he? And I'm using he just as whether it's he or she, because I'm not trying to personify God, but would implement. Feel something like that if he's all that powerful. And now I'm looking at God as a king or something separate, as they're saying, as separate from you and me. I mean, this is what I'm explaining. They're trying to, they would use like those elements. And of course, the fear element will become more obvious. It's, you know, of making you feel that fear of what will God do to you. I mean, you look at even from the Old Testament to the Quran. There's definitely an implementation of trying to make you it's like hitting the dog, and then the dog gets hit, and you hit the dog again, and you try to create this fear that I'm going to keep on hitting you, and it's sort of like a punishment, creating that fear factor. Well, they would use the same elements. I mean, they would stone somebody who didn't believe, and they'd kill somebody or torture somebody who didn't believe in it in front of the other people. You know, that was the public hangings, the public brutalities. These were meant for a reason, is to present fear amongst people so they would have to submit to their beliefs and their authority of what they want you to believe in. And these is what implement organized religions, and they still do it. They also use the imitation of guilt. Whether it's Judaism, Christianity, or Islam, they will use guilt. They will make you think that you... Whether they died for God, he died for your sins. Or if you don't do this, you're going to go to hell. If you don't believe in him, you're going to go to hell. Or if you don't follow God's laws, you're surely to be punished. Or in Islam, like if you don't follow the Sharia in Islam, that God will punish you. They're all rooted with trying to manipulate and trying to make you feel guilty about the things you do. And then another thing that's sort of surprisingly, you'll find that there are many people who are, I mean, very educated people who logically would think of one thing, but when it becomes organized religion, they're absolutely fools. And they can be the most educated people. I mean, if you ever watch, check out the movie called Religious by Bill Maher, I mean, even though it's sort of comical, a very cute little documentary, sort of fun and funny to watch it and stuff. That really came out when he was talked to people who are could be very educated. And when it became religion, their whole logic system went out the door. It was amazing. And, you know, all I have to say is like any, and then I'm quoting Thomas Paine again, any system of a religion that has anything in it that shocks the mind of a child cannot be true. I mean, just think about that. If something is so bad that's going to hurt that innocent child, that it's so mind-boggling, crazy, negative, can it be really true? You know? And Thomas Paine once said, belief in a cruel God makes a cruel man. So think about it. if you are taught that God is angry God, what's that going to make the person? He's going to become angry. If God's a fearful God, then what's the person? He's going to be full of fear. So it are tools are to manipulate and to take like mold into the effect to make people believe in a thing that is not even true. It's just a manipulation for money and power. And not to quote Karl Marx or anything like that, but organized religion is really the elixir of the masses. It is the opiate of the masses. So, now when I also look at organized religions, it also, it's not just organized religions, of course. I can go into other, off at different tangents and say, look at, other, like whether it's communism or socialism, where there's totalitarianism. Chavez in Venezuela, he doesn't want any free speech. He wants to dictate to my way or the highway. You'll see a very similar issue things. Castro, my way or the highway. So that became, when I talk organized religions, those are organized religions in themselves. Because what they're doing is the same thing. It's just now they're the God. The government is now God. And that's basically what communism does. I mean, if when you there's a famous book called Extremist that was written way back when, and it shows how they can take one person into another person and flip them to an extreme just because they use the same implementation of manipulating. Now, I sound like tongue-tied or going around in circles, but it's using the same common things, fear, manipulation, over and over again. And I can go down the line of almost all the major religions. I mean, here I've heard, just for example, in Judaism, and I can go on and on like that, but basically, you either follow the law that we interpreted for you, or you'll suffer the will of God. Now, what's really fascinating about that is in Judaism itself, it believes there's an infinite God. In the core of Judaism, like I said, there is an infinite God, and in every rabbi says, God's in you, it's all around, it's everywhere. That's why when you say in the prayers, it says, you don't say of, you say of not just God, but all over the universe. So when you say God, it's God of the universe, because God is everywhere, it's infinitely unbound. And all Kabbalists will, tell you, go, hey, it's the Ein Sof, which is, I've said in past shows, it's beyond the infinite, that's the real God, yet they'll step back and personify God as a person who goes, he's really mad at the Jews because they didn't follow their law, so we had to punish him. See what we created? That element was created. We're going to punish the Jews because they were bad and they didn't follow God's laws, so we're going to punish them. This is, and by the way, a lot of those books that you hear, they're written a little back to help instill fear amongst people. And that's what they did. I mean, even in Torah. And like, by the way, in all these dogmas, like I said, there's two sides. All of the dogmas in the religions, whether it's, like I said, the Torah, the Bhagavad Gita in Hinduism, or Quran, or the New Testament, and the Bible, they all have, it's almost like they're all like tools. It's like a knife. Now, you can use a knife to cut butter, or cut your apple, or use it in a positive way, or you can use it in a negative way and, God forbid, kill somebody. So it's a tool. And in that tool, there are things in it that are highly negative, but there are also elements in it highly positive. And the problem is, people will tell you what to believe what they are. Now, on my pastors, you'll hear me go, hey, this is what I believe, and I allow the person to look at it and think about what I'm trying to say, and then take their own retrospect ideas and perspectives of it. It's almost like I had a past show, somebody on my past show, and his book was called Assumptions, and he was saying how everybody looks at a chair, the same chair, from different angles, and describing the chair differently, but it's still the same chair. And my what I said to him, but it's not just the chair, it's made of wood. It's all made of the same material. It's the same thing if you get down to it. So that's why I say there's a big difference between the dogma of religion, or those who believe in the core of their religions, as opposed to the organization of them, the hierarchies, the lying behind them. So that's what I mean, like in Judaism, what I said. You know, and you had better obey, or you, it's that manipulation crap. You know, they'll manipulate you. You better do it, otherwise. And Thomas Paine, like I said, he had another famous, you probably heard me say this over and over many times, is it's one of my favorite lines of his. Reason obeys itself, and ignorance submits to whatever it is dictated to it. Just put that on your wall. Think about that. Because that is the problem with organized religion. If you start using your reason and understanding of what's really going on, you'll start questioning it and start developing your own mind and your own sense of what's up. Otherwise, if you're just admitting, oh yeah, my rabbi, my priest, my minister, my imam told me, like I remember hearing people when, the movie Da Vinci Code came out, I remember someone at my, I used to work at, said, oh, I can't go see that, my priest told me not to go see that. I'm like, what? I was like in shock. So, I mean, and Christianity, here's what Christianity is. Christianity says that we are separated from God and that we need them to make that divine connection. And then Christianity also says we must make their choices and act their way. And the theme of Christianity, the fundamental theme of Christianity, is fear and guilt. And think about how they use it. And what has Christianity become? Have you ever been to the Vatican? If any of you out there have seen the Vatican, it is big business. And it's not just the Catholic Church. It's the Presbyterians, the Baptists, all the denominations, including the Mormons. All of them. It's big, 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 big money. And guess what? They don't pay in America, and about other countries, they don't pay any taxes on top of it. And speaking of which, they get away with a lot of stuff, you know? They can sit there and implement, you know, tell their citizens who to vote for, yet get away not having, you know, being under the exemption of saying they're non-political. You know, like the Proposition 8 thing. Like the Mormon Church was highly involved with that and all that went on. I know people aware of that, but it's a whole other thing. I don't really want to elaborate on it. But basically, Christianity is big, big, big business. Come on, you know? Everybody knows it. I remember seeing on TV where there's some Christian pastor or minister, I forget who it was, selling a piece of green cloth, saying, I blessed it, and if you hold this blessed green cloth, your life will be better. Just send me your check. And think of all those people who do that. Not because they're just out of ignorance. Everybody laughs at it when you think it logically, like I said, logically. But some people are in situations that they just, either their self-esteem is so knocked down, or they're in such a situation that they truly have to believe in such a thing because they're told consistently since they're a child, this is what you believe in. And they're said with a lot of guilt, consistently push guilt down their throat and consistently throwing fear down their throat. I mean, Christianity also says there is a hell and God gets angry at you and God will judge you. So therefore, if that's the case, then God only conditionally would love us. We're not unconditionally loved. Does that make any sense? God created us to conditionally love us? Again, I'm personifying God, like the he or she or it. Now, God has taught us to fear their God. That's what Christianity has taught us. We have to fear God. And then, God, Christianity has taught us to feel ashamed and guilty and dirty about our sexuality. But didn't God make our sexuality? I mean, didn't he give us a penis and a vagina? Isn't that how we procreate? It's amazing. And then Christianity has told us to be thou shalt multiply and, the most weirdest thing, subdue the earth. And I repeat, subdue the earth. You know, go ahead and pollute the earth. Who gives a shit? Go ahead and this is why the mentality, the problem with, you know, we have problems with the mentality of ecology versus, you know, right-wing Christians, for example. They have a problem dealing with, oh, those damn tree huggers. We're supposed to damn go, we can go hunting anytime we want. I mean, look at Sarah Palin. That's why her mentality is like that. I'm out to go and get on our helicopters and we can go hunt and kill them wolves. You know, that's their idea, to hunt, to subdue Earth. They don't care about the pollution. It's not the top of their list, because that's what they're taught. And in Christianity, it also teaches disunity and separation, which is opposite of God. They separate us, everybody. It's you, and there's God. There's you and the non-believer who doesn't believe in Jesus as their Lord and Savior. They separate people in categories. And of course, they say there's a he's in heaven, meaning Jesus or God or whatever, and they are the only ones, you know, the priests, the ministers, in between, the intermarried, to the in-betweens, to explain things to us, what's really going on in between the heaven and, you know, explains about God and whatever, and the heavens. Like they're going to tell, they're the communication between God and us. Get it? They're going to interpret for us. And then, of course, Christianity says we are born with sin. Again, make you feel real guilty about the things that have happened. And then, they also say, Christianity, we've got one life to get it all right, and there's nothing but heaven or hell, and after that, you're judged. In other words, you either believe that Jesus is our Lord and Savior, and if you don't, you go to hell. So I guess some enlightened person like Dalai Lama, since he doesn't believe in Jesus as their Lord and Savior, he's going to hell. Some people who may have helped thousands and thousands of people, maybe he doesn't even believe in God at all, which I don't comprehend that, but, you know, an atheist, but goes around helping people out of his own, saves the child, you know, goes on the fire. He's a fireman or she's a fireman or he or she's a doctor, whatever, or even just little things. That person's going to hell. Isn't that amazing? And, of course, you know what Christianity gave us. They gave us that thing called the Inquisition, torture. If you didn't believe in Jesus, they'll fucking torture it out of you. And, of course, Christianity also gave us the Crusades, in which many were killed and slaughtered, all in the name of God, Lord Jesus Christ. You know? In fact, a lot of Jews were slaughtered along the Rhine, and that's when the Jews along the Rhine, which is near Germany, end up in Poland. Yeah, that's just a little history. Of course, they kept on going. The Crusades were on their way. And when they got to Judea, they found a whole handful of Jews and Muslims. Well, let's kill all them because they don't believe in Jesus Christ. Let's subdue them. Well, we all know what they did there. And, of course, the Native Americans. You know, the Arapahos, the Indians, the Redskins, the Apaches, the Mayans, the Aztecs, all the indigenous cultures in America, they were savages according to Christianity that must be saved. Yep. And look what they did to them. Even the Hawaiians, look what they did to them. And the Polynesians. I remember it was barred for them from doing, I remember in Hawaii, from even doing a hula dance. Of course, I know Native Americans had theirs, they had their hair cut, and they weren't allowed to have the, what was it, the wheel, and in the amongst the Lakota. And then Christianity has caused more wars and more killing than any other religion. That's a fact. You know, that's a historical fact. Of course, I'm going back history. Seems like Islam is trying to catch up. I mean, they had their heyday of murders and killings too, but, you know. But, of course, Christianity also teaches to have faith in them. And Christianity also teaches that it has all the right answers. I mean, all of them. And only its answers are the right ones. And Christianity also teaches that we have no choice but to accept their version of truth. Well, there was a famous American who said something about Christianity. You know, and like most people said, this country is founded on America, I'm talking about, on Christian principles. No, it's founded on Masonic principles, by the way. But a famous person, of course, who wrote the Declaration of Independence, I'm talking about none other than Thomas Jefferson, who I think was a brilliant, great man. And of course, most would concur. But most Christians aren't aware of what he thought of Christianity. And here's what he had to say about Christianity. Millions of innocent men, women, and children, since the introduction of Christianity, have been burnt, tortured, fined, and imprisoned. Yet, we have not advanced one inch towards uniformity. What has been the effect of coercion? To make one half the world fools, the other half hypocrites, to support roguery and error all over the earth. Wow. I guess Thomas Jefferson is a real blasphemous, according to most. Then, now, I know after the aftermath, a lot of people want to talk about Islam, and they go, "Oh, not all Islam is bad. They're not. It's peaceful." He talks a lot. There is, and you know, they'll go in the extremists and the terrorism. There's so many millions and millions and millions of Muslims, and you take 10% of that, and that's the extremists. And yeah, I could agree to that, but there's another side of that too. You know, let's get to the detail of what, first of all, you have to understand it. Now, I'm talking about the core of Quran is, you know, has very enlightened things within it. I mean, I'm telling you, it's about justice and peace. But on the other side, there's some things that are very awfully bad, just like I said, there's in the Bible. I mean, Islam, first of all, means to submit. And it was born with a knife, much like in Judaism and Christianity, but in the most gruesome of ways. I mean, they really did a number. And that's how Muslims, in the name of Allah, which is supposed to mean, which means God, was born. I mean, that's what they did. In fact, here's an example. Muhammad, I mean, literally created the genocide of Jews in Medina. I mean, slaughtered the entire Jewish population in Medina, all in the name of Allah. Now, does that tell me a loving God in their name? Isn't Allah part, if they kill that person, isn't that, I'd say brother, I mean cousins, or actually brothers, or cousins. How can they kill them? I mean, they're part of them. Jews that are from the line of Isaac, and they're from the line of Ishmael. And to create such, isn't that a blasphemous thing to kill? Isn't that blasphemy to Islam? I mean, they slaughtered thousands of Christians and Jews and Hindus and Buddhists. Because they just wanted to play the same game that the Christians and who can kill the most in their name or their religion. It's like a catch-up game. Who can kill the most? Let's go kill how many more we can kill. Tell me, is that an enlightened religion? A religion of justice, of love, of brotherhood, to kill your brother, to kill your fellow man? You know, like I said, in the core of Islam, it does speak of loving your neighbor, loving your fellow man. But in this day, today, where there's Mumbai or terrorism and killings the weather around the world with Islamic terrorists, whether it's 9/11 to Gaza going into Israel to Jerusalem to Lebanon to Germany, France, Britain, I mean everywhere. Do I hear any of the Islam, is there anybody in Islam, any of the clerics, that even though it's post-Islam preaches love and justice for fellow men, but what do you hear from the clerics? Silence. Or kill. They don't say a damn word. And though the Christians know that Jesus preached love and peace of their fellow man, that they, perpetrated their own Holocaust, it seems like they just want to catch up. I mean, look at the violence in the name of Allah. That the Islam has been, Muslims have been expounded upon. I mean, the violence and death over a cartoon. Give me a break. How can you compare making a cartoon and going and killing a bunch of people? And the violence. How can you equate the name of Allah and Islam, and then there was 9/11. And in the UK, there was terrorism. In France, Germany. And like I said, the violence and the murder in the name of Allah in India, in Mumbai, or in the Philippines, or in Thailand, or in Afghanistan, where young girls have acid thrown in their face because they wanted to be educated. Is this Islam? A young girl is raped and she's stoned to death. Is this Islamic justice? In Iran, the epitome of Islamic law is like a genuine theocracy of tyrants. The mullahs spill out their ugly hatred of their cousins, the Jews, wanting to eliminate them. Their leaders preach the hate of a Jewish state and desire to carry out Hitler's final solution to the Jews. Is this love of Allah? The clash of Arab and Jew in Israel, the conflict with Israeli and Palestinian, is not a conflict of land, but a conflict of religion. And God forbid that there is a Jewish, little teeny Jewish state, and the massive Islamic ones, because that's what's really it's about. Is it Islamic to teach children to hate their cousin, the Jew? Is it Islamic to strap bombs on a children to kill other children? Is it Islamic to kill? Doesn't it say in the Quran, if I save one man, it's as if I have saved the entire world? And if I killed one man, then I've killed the whole world. So I have just one question. If it is not Islamic, then why? I say, why haven't any mullah, imam, Islamic cleric preached love and respect for their cousin, the Jew, their fellow man, such as the Christian, the Hindu, Buddhist, and etc.? Why haven't they condemned these violent acts of murder? I ask, why haven't they? I mean, Islam is like all other organized religions, which are nothing more than a human invention to set up and terrify and enslave mankind and monopolize power and profit. Pure and simple. Now, what do I believe in? People are out there finding, what are you? Some atheist? Now, like I said, I'm not attacking, and I'm not being politically correct, but I wasn't attacking the individual who believes in the infinite of the spirit of Allah, who believes in the infinite of God, or believes in Jesus as their Lord and Savior. What I am condemning is the hierarchy that expounds your religions. You don't need a building. You do not need your cleric to find God. And here's why what I believe in. Again, this is what I believe in. I believe in God. I believe in an infinite God, a loving God, not to personify a God. I believe that God is within us and that we don't need anyone else to make that divine connection for us. I believe that we are free to make our own choices on our own, that we must take personal responsibility for our actions and not blame the devil made me do it. I believe in humanity and the universe as a common denominator with spirituality, with unconditional love. I believe that spirituality does not require us to make donations. I believe that real spirituality says there is no hell, no judgment, and no angry God, that we are all loved unconditionally. I believe that real spirituality says we are free to choose our own God, given to our own path, our own perception of God. I see that spirituality says we go to God to lighten our burden and provide greater understanding. I believe we should not be ashamed of our sexuality, that it should be held a sacred celebration of our love and our spirit and our soul. I believe that real spirituality teaches us to honor and respect Mother Earth. I believe real spirituality reminds us that we are one with God, one with one another. I believe that God is within all of us and all about us. I believe we are born innocent and of purity. I believe that we are on a long spiritual adventure and journey, which will ultimately end by reuniting with our source, our conscious as a whole amongst the whole universe. I believe we are all free to express our individuality and express our spirituality and express ourselves. I believe in that freedom of expression of all things, whether including politically. I believe that real spirituality teaches us unconditional love for all. I believe we should love one another unconditionally and always honor the rights and choices of others and respect their choices. They may be different. They may be counter to your ways of thought. It may not be your cup of tea, but respect it. I believe that real spirituality teaches peace and harmony. And I believe that you have to practice what you preach. I believe that spirituality says respect all living things. Like the Native American, as he killed his hunt, he even gave a prayer over the animal he just had killed. Or in Judaism, they pray over the animal they had to slaughter to eat it, and they try to kill it with the least amount of pain. That's what kosher really is. That's respecting things, respecting all living things. I spiritually believe that we must have faith in ourselves. I believe that real spiritually says we have all the answers and that we can find them by going within our own selves. I believe that we can search for the universal truths, and our hearts are our guides to that endeavor of these truths. In other words, follow your heart. I say now, tear down those ugly dark walls of organized religion, including the facades of organized religions. I see that the clerics have spewed their lies and deceit enough. We've heard it. I say we ain't afraid. I say they are very afraid. They're afraid of the very truth that will expose them for what they are. Namely, the Elmer Guntries, the con artists, the manipulators, the preachers of fear, hate, and guilt. I say that these clerics of the organized have been leading their sheep to the dark path. I say that the ascension is about us now. I say that the world will see and is seeing that the path of these organized religions is the dark path. The path of dark, the path of guilt, the path of fear, the path of hate. This is the dark path. I say that the path of light is around us. The path of light is in front of us. The path of light is love, tolerance, understanding, respect, healing, growing, developing your self-worth, your self-love, having reason, thirst for knowledge, thirst for wisdom, and always questioning for the greater understanding and wisdom, of course. Love. That is the most important thing. So I say, what is your path? I say, then, what is your religion? And I will say, all national institutions of churches, organized religions, whether Jewish, Christian, or Muslim, are nothing more than human inventions set up to terrify, enslave mankind, and monopolize power and profit for their own gain. I say to you, what is your path? I say to you, what is your religion? And I want to thank you for your listening and your time. And I look forward to your comments, your things, and hope you have a brilliant and a great, great, great day today and a magnificent weekend. And thank you for listening. And God bless you all. Thank you. God bless you. Love is here.